بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراعون. خشوع کے متعلق آگے اس رسالہ میں پوری وضاحت انشاءاللہ آ رہی ہے. As far as the finer details of concentration and devotion in salat is concerned, inshallah this will be discussed in detail later on. اور یہ بات بھی کہ حقیقی خشوع یعنی دل کا خشوع کچھ ذکر و شغل کرنے کے بعد ہی حاصل ہوتا ہے. There was a point that we ended on that true concentration and the reality of concentration can only be attained if a person for a protracted period of time, for a prolonged period of time, has made zikr, and from that he has got some form of efficiency of control of thought and mind. اور ورنہ تو اگر نمازی کے دل میں خشوع نہ ہو اور ظاہر میں سکون ہو. Otherwise, if there isn't any concentration and devotion humility in the heart, but there is an outward form of tranquility, تو حدیث پاک میں اس منافقانہ خشوع سے پناہ مانگنا آیا ہے. Whereas for such a salat that outwardly mashallah the person is motionless, it seems like he's very very devoted, but in his heart he's totally devoid from concentration. In fact in the hadith, so refuge has been sought from such a salat. So outwardly it seems like a person is concentrating, but his heart is somewhere else. اور دوسری جگہ بے خبری سے نماز پڑھنے والوں کے متعلق ارشاد ہے. Whereas in another place of the Quran Kareem, as far as those that perform salat unmindful are concerned, it is mentioned, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ. The destruction for the musallis. Now it's quite amazing that the Quran is not talking even about those that are not performing salat. For those that are performing salat, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ destruction be the lot for those who perform salat. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ those that are unmindful and negligent regarding their salah. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh in Fazail Amal has explained the word sahun. He says the destruction for those musallis that miss the correct time of salah. Unfortunately many times it becomes that a person after sunrise performs fajr salah. So he is not conscious about the time of salah. So although outwardly in his mind I have read my 5 times salah, but the Quran Kareem is saying for wail, there is destruction for him. So in his mind he thinks he is a namazi, he is a musalli, and everybody regard him to be a musalli. But every day he just has to take cognizance that his fajr salah is basically qaza every day. And many times we see there is the same situation with asr. Either a person is traveling back home from work and is not mindful about his asr salah, and he performs his asr and maghrib together. So Quran Kareem says that destruction for those people. The second tafsir that Shaykh Hamdullah Ali has mentioned regarding sahun, inattentive, that probably you are performing salat in its time but without concentration. For you also there is destruction. So outwardly, in our thought that we have performed salat, and but the Quran Kareem is saying that there is destruction. And let's check on the third one. This is the third tafsir. As the Shaykh Hamdullah Ali has written, that a person has forgotten the amount of rakats. So how often is it that we forget the amount of rakats that we are performing? And the Quran Kareem is referring to those people as فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ. They are just performing salat to show one another. So لہذا حضرات عارفین نے بے عروح پڑھنے کا طریقہ بھی بیان فرمائے ہیں. That the عارفین of Allah, the close bondsmen of Allah and the close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have written books of how to develop concentration in salah. جن میں ایک بہت ہی مبارک اور موثر حضرت سید احمد شہید رحمت اللہ علیہ کی تقریر ہے. One very very effective bayan in this regard is the discourse of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. His bayan that he has given in this regard. اور جو عرصہ ہوا انوار السرات کے نام سے تباہ ہو کر اب نایاب ہو چکی ہے. But he says unfortunately a long period has passed and this kitab is hardly found. And through the barakat of the Professor Mawlana Abdul Rahman Sahib, MashaAllah, the prominence of this kitab has come again. In fact, Hazrat mentioned even how this, because when he's in 97-98, he was thinking as to what would be an appropriate discussion every morning for the brothers sitting for Etikaf and the brothers sitting for the 30-day period. So as I said, he was going through the kitabs and then his eyes just fell on this kitab. And today, even if you go to India, Pakistan, and you speak about Anwar al-Sarat, very, very few of them know about this kitab. In fact, when I met Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah's great-grandson from Lucknow, when I mentioned this kitab regarding Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was also amazed that this kitab existed. Then he said that if you could please forward the kitab, a copy to him. So this kitab for a long period of time was not in print, but to usko dekar khud banda ka aur digar ahbab ka taqaza hua ki usko dobara tabah karaya jaye. So when I seen this kitab, this is Sufi Iqbal is mentioning, then this thought came and my friends also, their thought was similar and they desired that this kitab be printed a second time. کہ اس مختصر رسالہ کو جس نے بھی پڑھا بے اختیار اش اش کر اٹھا کہ سبحان اللہ کیا نماز ہے. That whoever read this concise booklet, immediately they said, wow, what a beautiful book, subhanallah, on how to develop concentration in kitab, in salat. But remember at the same point, at the same time, اور اس کے مطالعہ سے ہر نمازی کو کچھ فائدہ ضرور ہوتا ہے. If a person studies this book, inshallah, every musalli, every person performing salat, will definitely attain some level of benefit. لیکن یہ بھی ظاہر ہے کہ محض مطالعہ سے ہر کوئی خود ایسی نماز ادا کرنے پر قادر نہیں ہو سکتا. But just by mere studying, it's not possible that every person will be able to develop concentration in salah. جب تک کہ کسی خاص تربیت سے اس کی مشق نہ کرے. Until and unless he does not undergo a form of reformation and sequence of upliftment, and then he exercises on the lessons taught, then you'll benefit. But if you think about us, our minds are so in every different direction. For us to even concentrate for a little while on one subject matter is very, very difficult. Think about it even when we make intention, inshallah, for sunnahs of Tuhar to concentrate and see. Within a few seconds, our mind runs away. So that shows that there's required some other effort in order to get control of one's thought. And if a person had his tarbiyat done, his reformation done, then inshallah he will benefit greatly from this. Kyunki saadat ka husool mein adatullah is tarah jari hai ki kasr aur mehnat karni padti hai. Because to attain high ranks, it is a tariqa of Allah, it is a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have to make some effort first. So just thinking that, mashallah, if we sit here every day and for the next, till the end of Ramadan, sit and listen to the discourses, therefore we'll have a salat of concentration, it's not going to happen. Some form of mujahada has to be made, like we mentioned yesterday, that when you make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with concentration and devotion, and open your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and concentrate on the subject matter. So inshallah, in that way, we are developing our mind every day. We are developing our mind every day. Then, what probably, and you will find this, that initially when you start concentrating, and you make a firm intention, inshallah, that my today's salat will be of concentration. You don't even finish the hours and tasmiyah, and your mind is gone somewhere else. Then you become probably conscious just before you go into ruku, that what was I thinking, what was my intention? And you try the next day, probably finish Tawus, Tasmiyah, and read the first ayat of Surah Fatiha, and now your mind is gone somewhere else. But it has to be continuous. Continuous, inshallah. After some form of mujahada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open it on a person. Phir us par ata hai, wahabi taur par hoti hai. Then Allah ta'ala bestows from His side. When Allah ta'ala sees inclination from our side, effort from our side, Allah gives hidayah to that person who shows inclination. So you make some level of effort in this regard, inshallah in a short period of time, we'll have a salat of concentration. چنانچہ اللہ تعالی اللہ جل شانہ کی رحمت اگر شے کسی علت و سبب کے محتاج نہیں. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require any cause for His mercy, that means that if you make mujahada, then only. Although Allah Ta'ala is not bound to any regulation, يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, He makes specific and He makes special with His mercy whomever He wants. لَكِنْ إِنَّ رَحْمَتَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنْ الْمُحْسِنِينَ بِي فَرْمَانِ إِلَهِيَ. So one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't require any mujahada on our behalf to pull Him, to pull us towards Him. Allah Ta'ala can make just and pull. Therefore, Hazrat Hakim Sahib should say, always make this dua. Oh Allah, that despite me not having the credentials, but make just of me towards You. Pull me towards You. And the dua you should make all the time. Say, Allah, pull me like how a magnet pulls. Oh Allah, pull me towards You. So on one side, Allah Ta'ala does not require any cause, outward cause, in order for making us His special servants and bestowing His mercy. But at the same time, the same Quran Kareem Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that the mercy of Allah is close to those that do good. That means those that engage in good and that has the willingness to change. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is with those people. لہذا ہم حضرت سید صاحب قدس سرہ العزیز کی تقریر دل پذیر کو دل میں جمانے اور عمل میں لانے کے لیے دبج ذیل پانچ اسباق کے طور پر تحریر کرتے ہیں. As we mentioned and he's reiterating, Asuf Iqbal is reiterating this point, that just by reading and making mutala it is not sufficient to attain concentration. Therefore we'll mention five noors before, so that hopefully that we engage in this exercises before the actual bayan, then we will be able to benefit. So very very important, these five noors Sufi Iqbal has added and has mentioned that inshallah that let's go through this process first, then the bayan will have a great effect on us and then our salat will change. اور عمل میں لانے کی ترتیب بطور فوائد درج ہوگی. Then he says, after that he mentions that inshallah the actual bayan will start. And then even after the bayan, the salient features of that bayan, of each bayan, even the bayans are broken up into five lessons. So one is the five points before the actual bayan, and then the bayan itself, which is broken up in five lessons. And after each bayan, mashallah, the salient features of each bayan will be mentioned again, so that we remember them completely. حضرت کے ارشادات کو پڑھنے سے پہلے مندرجہ ذیل امور کو ملحوظ رکھا جائے. Before even we listen to the discourse of Shah Ahmad Shahid رحمت اللہ علیہ, keep these five points in mind, جن کو ہم نے نور سے تعبیر کریں گے, which we have stated as being the نور. So one is نور اول, the first نور. اس مشق کا فائدہ صرف انہی سالکن کو ہوگا جو ذکر و شغل کے طریق کو باضابطہ اختیار کر چکے ہیں. That only those people will benefit from the azbaq etc. and those people treading the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have made zikr for a prolonged period of time. So this again we come back to the point that it is essential that we make zikr in order to get concentration and devotion. So the two ayahs we mentioned yesterday, that zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids tremendously in developing your mind, and that you can remain on one subject matter and your thought pattern is correct. Yazkurun Allah, we mentioned that ulul albab, who are the ulul albab? Alladhina yazkurun Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi samawati wal ard. The Quran al-Kareem has mentioned that the ulul albab are those that make dhikr and then they ponder. So their pondering and their thinking will be correct. And then we mention another ayat of the Quran al-Kareem in order to get itminan and tranquility of the heart. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. And Mawlana Shafi Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, there is no doubt in this, that is dalil qat'i, it is irrefutable proof and totally authentic, that if you want itminan a qalb which will have the control of the mind, it is to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, make the dhikr of Allah ta'ala in abundance. And then the one great ni'mat of dhikr, that is فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ, when you think about me, when you remember me, I will think about you. And Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned a very, very salient point in this regard. He says that if there was no other virtue regarding dhikr, only this one virtue has come. It is sufficient to make a person a diehard of the dhikr of Allah. That if he just has to ponder about this for a few seconds, that I am mentioning by Allah. In fact, the truth is that Allah is making mention of me. And truly, although the tartibi is fadhkuruni, remember me, I will remember you. Hakim Sahab rahmatullah alayh, Ari Billah, used to say that the truth of the matter is that Allah is thinking about you, and therefore Allah gives you tawfiq to think about him. Then the question comes, if that is the sequence and why Allah has mentioned Fadhkuruni, that remember me and I will remember you, where the truth is Allah is remembering you, therefore he's giving you tawfiq of making dhikr of him. So as it says, the tartib has come like this in the Quran Kareem, so that Allah Ta'ala can reward us. Like how a child, you put him on your lap and you let him touch the steering wheel, and he thinks he's driving. And he's thought he's driving. And then he'll go home and tell everybody, I drove the car today. The reality is you are driving. You are holding the steering stuff from the other side. He's just got his hands on there. So in the same way, actually Allah Ta'ala is thinking about us. Allah is making nisbat towards us so that he can find a reason to reward us. That is Allah's karam. So as it says, this thought can only come in a person. That Allah is thinking about me. If a person, mashallah, his ustad makes mention about him in his absence, and somebody tells him, the friend tells him, that ustad was making dhikr e khair about you, was thinking and saying some good things about you, he'll become so happy. He'll want to write down the words. What did he say? How did he start? A student of deen, this is what we look for. And then if a person, sheikh, says something about him, he's over the moon, he's walking on cloud 11 for the day. My Shaykh made dhikr khair about me. Imagine Allah talking about you. And this reality Sahaba had. Sahaba had this reality. Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and told us, Ubay bin Ka'b, that Allah has instructed me to read Quran al-Kareem to you. Ubay bin Ka'b was in a state of ecstasy. Allah sammani, he took my name. And he said, you must read Quran al-Kareem to me. He couldn't help himself and he just started weeping profusely. Ulama had mentioned that Ghaliban, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to read Surah Al-Bayyinah to him. Because there it has got to do with the kuffar, the mushrikeen, etc. And the Ahli Kitab. And he was from that group previously from the Ahli Kitab, etc. But nevertheless, even the question ulama have written, and what detail our muhaddithin have gone through, Allah Ta'ala give them jazai khair, that they, why did Ubay bin Ka'b question Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Was it that he did not believe Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So it was never that he didn't believe Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He wanted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to repeat so he could take enjoyment that Allah has taken my name. And ulama have mentioned, istildadan, to take enjoyment, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say again that, oh Ubay, that Allah has mentioned you by name. And we have got the same opportunity every day when we make the dhikr of Allah. Have yaqeen. Tabit Bulani rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion told his servant that, I know when Allah thinks about me. So the servant found it very strange. That isn't the other way around. That you are aware when you are making the dhikr of Allah. But you saying that I am aware when Allah is thinking about me. He says, no, it's the Quran al-Kareem. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I'll remember you. If I'm making the dhikr of Allah, I know Allah is thinking about me. So I know when Allah is thinking about me. Such yaqeen. So even if a person, therefore, we see in the tartib of our dhikr, before we start our dhikr, after Bismillah, we read فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. So the thought can come in our minds that don't just read it as love service, that my Allah is making mention about me. And Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has gone to such an extent, has said that when we make the dhikr of Allah in a gathering, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summons the arwah al-mursaleen, the souls of the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Now can you imagine this? when we make the dhikr of Allah in a gathering, then not even this Allah summons the soul of the arwah al-mursaleen, and not all the anbiya, the special, not all the angels, the arwah of all the anbiya al-mursaleen, and the special angels. And Allah Ta'ala mentions the person's name and what rewards Allah is prepared to give for him. فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ مُجَدِّدِ مِلَّتْ مَنَا شَفْرِي تَعَانِي رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. In the explanation of this ayat, فَذْكُرُونِ, he said that فَذْكُرُونِ بِالطَّاعَةِ, that Allah is saying that remember me with obedience in every form. So therefore we should understand what is dhikr. Like for example, if Salat is standing up here, and the muadhin called out the iqama, now you know the fazail of dhikr. So he said, well, let's be there at the back. Allah is thinking about me. And you're making dhikr, mashallah. And in a state of ecstasy. Is that the dhikr of the time? No. The dhikr of the time is to join salat. So understand what's fadkuruni, bitta'ah. To understand what is Allah's mansha, what is Allah's desire, what is Allah's hukam at this time, to fulfill it. It's the time for a person to get married. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, it's a person's time to get married. Now he sits with that tasbih in a corner of the masjid. Is that the dhikr of the time? No. In order to have control of his mind and his desires, etc., the dhikr of that time is for him to get married. So every time the discussion of dhikr, of marriage comes, he takes a tasbih. That's not the dhikr of the time. The dhikr of the time is to go and propose to a woman, get married, and fulfill her rights. And in that your iman will be completed. So to understand, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allama Anusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, in the tafsir of this ayat, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. So Mawlana Shafi Thani rahmatullah alayh says, فَذْكُرُونِ, that remember me, think about me, with obedience. That means what is my hukam at this time to fulfill that hukam. أَذْكُرْكُمْ, I will bestow my favors upon you. In Amul Jazeel, my majestic bounties upon you. Allama Arusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi has gone into greater detail. He said, فَذْكُرُونِ قَلْبًا وَكَالِبًا, that with your heart and with your outward. And thus in the tafsir of that he has explained, بِاللِّسَان وَبِالْقَلْبِ وَبِالْجَوَارِ, that what is this فَذْكُرُونِ, that think about me with your tongue, that means what we know commonly as dhikr. And this also we should not misunderstand or take the wrong benefit also of the bayan. That now we say فَذْكُرُونِ بِالطَّاعَةِ, so we outwardly we've got no time for the dhikr lisan. Dhikr lisan is included in itaat. So many people say that to make the effort of deen, etc., that is the most important. People are losing their faith, etc. That is in its place. But at the same time, the dhikr of Allah should not be neglected. To that extent, Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that if a person, for example, spends time in the work of da'wah and tabligh, but two activities he does not engage in, and that we should check ourselves. One is it completing his adhkar, and one is a ta'lim. Hazrat mentioned this is awara gardi, it is just roaming around. Because his da'wah will not have any effect. And think about it, there's great negligence in this regard. We will go, for example, after Asr, we will have the dhikr program in Jamaat. And we'll have kitab from Fazail Zikr. We'll read one to ahadith, and then we'll tell the brothers that alhamdulillah, this is a very mubarak time, and we have to complete our third kalima, durud sharif, istighfar, etc. And we'll mention a few fazail. We'll close the kitab, but think about it, how many of us have ever completed our adhkar that you are giving dawah to us? That shows that the reality and the awe of dhikr is still not in your heart. Therefore, advise him. So then, immediately after that, we'll say, is there any brothers that we can make mulaqat to us? So we can go for khususi mulaqat. So our da'wah started with dhikr, and immediately we went to the khususi mulaqat. Maybe it is an appropriate time for khususi mulaqat, so we shouldn't neglect that also. But at the same time, like we are making groups for khususi mulaqat, time should be given to the satis to complete the adhkar also. So we can tell the statistics that fine, read 10 times third kalima, 10 times durud sharif, 10 times istighfar. Then let's go make khusus mulaqat and we come back, we'll complete our azkar. Come back about 15 minutes before Maghrib Salat and inshallah we'll complete our azkar. So both the efforts are done. The zikr is also done. It should not be that we are giving da'wah towards the thing and we haven't even got thought of making amal upon the thing. Then that is what Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi says, yeah, mahaz awara gardi hogi. It will be just moving from place to place. And then the other is that when ta'aleem starts, like, then automatically we say, let's go make jamaat for ta'aleemi gash. You spend the whole time out without, and if you think about it, the 40 day period is gone. I hardly sat for one ta'aleem complete. And spend one shilla in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What these two things, that today now night is reduced from 2.5 hours to 1.5 hour ta'aleem. Initially it should be 3 hours of ta'aleem. And then there was weakness in that regard within ourselves, therefore it was decreased according to our ability. Spend a chilla even in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sat for your ta'aleem every day. And for example, if you haven't completed that quota because of some other requirements, then complete that quota. And complete your tasbihat every day in your azkar and see what a different 40 days that will be. But now what you are giving da'wah towards is in your life. And you are making sure that it comes first and foremost in my life. Otherwise, basically, we will be giving da'wah towards the thing, but there will be no even thought of making amal on that, if our attention is not given towards that. So one easy way would be, give the satis some time to complete the adhkar, and then go for khususi mulaqat, and complete the remaining adhkar after that. So Allama Arusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi has mentioned that the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its totality, that is bil lisan, with the tongue, with the mind, with the heart, with the body, in every aspect should be the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly, inshallah, and then we will see, after some time, there will be some control of our mind. And inshallah, you will see the effect of it in your salat immediately. That even in your salat, now you can control your mind for a protracted period of time. Ab wo is malka se apni namaz ko baruh bana sakte hain. Now because he has got this proficiency within him, now he can make his salat a salat of substance, a salat of soul. Aur namaz ke zariye se wo apne batini madarij mein bahut tarakki kar sakte hain. Now look at this. When he's made dhikr and he has got some level of concentration, it will have a tremendous effect on his salat. Now his salat will give him that steam in order to elevate himself in terms of his inner self towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aur jo tareeqa nabuwat se tarakki karne ke mukhtalif zaraye mein se ek aham zariya hai. And these different ways of nabuwat, obviously salat is one of them. And salat is one very very effective way of nabuwat. That means all the teachings of nabuwat in which to attain loftiness and to go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ورنہ بے روح نماز نہ بطریق ولایت میں معتبر ہے نہ طریق نبوت میں معتبر ہے. Now this is a very very important point, that to read a salat without life and soul, even in wilayat, otherwise wilayat will be a pipe dream. We will be discussing this, it will be a concept, it will be a theory that we will be discussing about being the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming awliya Allah. One way is to make an effort on salah. It cannot happen that you get vilayat without your salat transforming and changing. So in terms of tariq-e vilayat, the path of vilayat, nor in the prophetic teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you get any far or you get any distance without getting a salat of substance within yourself. So it's very, very important that for vilayat, and we want to become the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bosom friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is imperative that we work first and foremost on our salat. یہی حال طریق نبوت کے دوسرے اعمال مثلا تلاوت قرآن جہاد تبلیغ وغیرہ کے ہیں. And the other efforts and ways of نبوت whether it is جہاد تلاوت قرآن کریم تبلیغ etc. It is imperative that first and foremost it has to be with soul. And the thing that will get soul in these اعمال and these activities will be the ذکر of Allah. And unfortunately today we think about it. How come we complaining this, mashallah, this mass production of ulama? You hear that so many times. Previously, one alim was sufficient for a town. Now we'll have in one locality so many ulama. Took the last count in Azadan alone, over 145. Whereas previously, one alim was sufficient. Then think about it, when we even given discourses and our azbaq, etc., how much dhikr we made before that? We go into a class without making the dhikr of Allah, how can our lessons have any ruin in it? When there is no importance of devoting yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with love mentioning His beautiful names and glorifying Him in the best way you possibly can, how is your students going to take effect? Whereas an ustad, even a person is giving a bayan, make the dhikr of Allah before that. Our mashayikh were very, very particular with us. That before that they engage in tilawat of Quran and Kareem, they engage in making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then only they gave a bayan. Even in the class in the same way. Go to a class every day, after the making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your focus will be completely different. Then no matter what lesson you are teaching, whether you are teaching balaghat, you are teaching nahwa, you are teaching sarf, you will see ways of how to connect your students to Allah. Otherwise it will just be outward teaching. We will be going through the motions of teaching. Now a person, his speaker will be first and foremost, not only that my students know nahwa syntax and they know sarf etymology and they got maharat and proficiency in it. That with this, how can everyone that passed my class become a wali of Allah? Because he has enjoyed the sweetness of wilayat. So the sweetness is such, it's not a selfish sweetness, he wants to share it with everybody. So his effort will be that each student of mine become the wali of Allah. Now he'll become conscious about the sunnah. He will be conscious about the salat. He will be conscious of the outward dressing, etc. He will be conscious about their language, etc. Automatically. And see immediately your whole focus in the class. And amazing, what you'll be surprised what lesson you'll be teaching and you will be seeing this is a method of getting to Allah. And you'll find if you read the books of Hazrat Hakim Sahib, if you for example take Dard e Muhabbat, Kashkol e Marifat, etc. So many Sarfi and Nahwi Qawaid he has utilized to teach some usul of tasawuf and sohbat and how to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what you see in it. Because now that is an ustad that has made the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and now he has given a lesson. ورنہ بے روح نماز نہ طریق ولایت میں موثر ہے نہ طریق نبوت میں معتبر ہے. اور جو حضرات اعمال میں روح پیدا کر کے ترقی مدارش کے خواہاں ہو ان کے لیے ضروری ہے کہ وہ پہلے ذکر و شغل کے طریق کو اختیار کر کے اپنے قلب کی اصلاح کرے. So those that have the desire of elevating oneself and getting proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so one is the desire, but it is imperative for that person to engage in ذکر first and foremost. کہ اپنے قلب کی اصلاح کرے and with the برکت of the ذکر to reform the heart. کیونکہ اعمال کے بیاروح ہونے کا مدارش قلب کی اصلاح پر ہے. Because it is that a person getting a higher status and for اعمال to be of essence and of substance, it is imperative that the heart has been transformed first and foremost. And that is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُدْغَى, that in a body is a flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ, when it is proper, it is intact, then the entire body is intact and proper. So in the same way, if a person wants to get high levels in this tariq of tasawuf and getting sifat of ihsan, it is imperative that a person's heart is made islah of. And the way of making islah of the heart is through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جو کسی شیخ کے کامل کی تربیت اور نگرانی میں ذکر و شغل کے اختیار کرنے ہی سے ہوتی ہے. which will take place by the supervision of a Shaykh Kamil, under his tutorship, under his supervision, to engage in dhikr and then start making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many times we just decide to make on our own, and it can be very, very detrimental to us. On one occasion, Mawlana Ashraf Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, it was mentioned to him that one of his muridin was about to throw himself in a well. Some satis brought him to Hazrat, and then they mentioned to him that he was making a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I said, now you're going to make the work of tasawwuf badnam because you haven't taken the advice of the Shaykh. In today's time, the Akabirin and Mashaykh know our weaknesses. Therefore, they've given us so much simple azkar. Before it was 120,000, etc. Then the Bara Tasbihat, which is actually 1300 in number, that has been reduced completely. And now, in our tariq, 200 has been given everything. 100 of the La ilaha illallah and 100 of the word Allah, the Ismi Zat of Allah. And then also think about that, when it is reduced so much, then too we still not punctual upon it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshaAllah. That at least minimum, that with this thought now, that this one thing that will come alive in our lives. Make niyat for it inshaAllah. First bayan Hazrat gave in Ramadan was regarding niyat, the importance of niyat. So at least make this niyat that inshallah what regularity I will make my dhikr of Allah every day. جو کسی شیخ کے کامل کی تربیت و نگرانی میں ذکر و شغل کے اختیار کرنے ہی سے ہوتی ہے. Now another question will come that once غالباً it was they asked مولانا شفیع تھانوی رحمت اللہ علیہ that ذکر will basically take you towards Allah سبحانہ وتعالی, then what is the requirement of having a شیخ کامل, under whose supervision do you have to make the ذکر? Khwaja Aziz al-Hasan Mazzub rahmatullah alayhi asked Mawlana Ashraf Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. So Hazrat mentioned that Khwaja sahab, even a knife cuts, the knife's job is cutting, but the effect of the knife will only be when it is in somebody's hands, when it is under somebody's supervision. Otherwise the person will make so much. I can remember once in this very same masjid, Hazrat was walking out, Hazrat himself, and some students were making dhikr in the dhikr room at the back. And while Hazrat was walking here, they were making the Hazrat had a program where while they were completing the adhkar, he was making so loud and in such a high pitch, and Hazrat immediately said that the student's dimagh is going to become dry very soon because he hasn't got the potential yet to make the dhikr. And then he told us here while he was walking out that tell him that he should not necessary for him to make dhikr in such a high pitch. But therefore, the mashayikh see all this, whether we have got the istidad, to what level that we should make. And then yes, mashallah, for a prolonged period of time, a person is making his tasbihat, then ask the shaykh for more. Ask the shaykh for more, and according to that, he will prescribe to you. But with his mashura, increase the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. And then the shaykh kamil is such great, great benefits. In fact, we'll just try to discuss, we won't go into any detail of this, but the Sohbat of the Salihin, what benefits they are for us. One is obviously, as Hazrat Akim Sahib has mentioned, 10 benefits of the Sohbat of the Salihin and Ahlullah, that you get into their company. So Hazrat has mentioned that first and foremost, that if a person love somebody and you love the Shaykh, he's no relative to you, no family member of yours, there is no ehsan of his upon him, etc. Therefore relationship has developed only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first barakat of having love for the Ahlullah will be that Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat will become wajib. And that Hazrat mentioned, wajabat muhabbati lil mutahabbina fiha. My muhabbat becomes compulsory for those that love one another for my sake. So the only reason we come to the Shaykh is because of the love that we have. And proportionate to the love a person has of the Shaykh, there's two things. Aqidah of the Shaykh and love of the Shaykh. Aqidah of the Shaykh and love of the Shaykh. When a person, that a person has total aqidah, then inshallah, by following the teaching of my Shaykh, I will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The destination, the maqsood is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will go very, very fast. in this path. But today, many times, why we don't progress, although we're sitting in the company of a sheikh every day, we're not progressing because the things that do not suit us, then we say, generally everything what the sheikh say I accept, but on this I have a certain reservation, mashallah. You're only going to basically progress in this path when you come with no reservations. And the quicker your aqidah on the sheikh is proper, and your muhabbat is kamil, well, your path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become very easy. So therefore, wajabat muhabbati lil mutahabbina fiya. That my muhabbat becomes for those, compulsory for those that love one another for Allah's sake. So that is the first benefit of the Shaykh Kamil to sit in his company. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah. We'll try to mention the remaining benefits and hopefully that we can make amal upon these things. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, wa bihamdihi, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.